Okay. All right. So let's do this now.
Yeah. So, Des, I got to tell you something here. I've only done one other podcast, hey?
Okay.
And it was for a bunch of two dudes down in Ohio. And the podcast is called Filmmakers Drinking Bourbon. So what's really nice about it is it's a one-on-one like this. They bring the bottle of bourbon.
Right.
And they give you a glass of bourbon, however you want it, right? Neat or not, and they'll have a glass of. And the whole thing is you got to drink the whole bottle by the end of the interview.
Holy smokes.
And we usually do.
Wow.
Yeah, so
no bourbon.
No. Oh, hey, here's a warm can of Red Bull. You know, you spend.
I do. Yeah, we go all out here in the desert. Yeah,
this is awesome, man. Well, nice to see you.
Could not have asked for a better opening. All right. So for those of listening on Cabin Radio, we are here with Kenny Chaplin. Kenny is the instructor. We were here at the training course this week. He owns his own company. He's very, very experienced in the film industry. He was here teaching us production assistant. It was a production assistant workshop. I've known Kenny now for 2 years now, I think it's been a few years now.
Yeah.
I met him here in Yellowknife the first time I came down for a training course for a assistant directing course.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
So we did the AD course here, and that was for Elijah. That was for the promotion, the production they were doing then.
That's right, because a number of those students were already ready to go into that
production. Exactly. It was pretty much for Nancy, I think, right? We were sort of like training Nancy.
And yeah. Then
let's give everybody else the experience too, right?
Yes.
And so that was great because I learned so much. Like, obviously, people know this, and you, I've told you about this too. I have an interest in filmmaking. I've been making short films. I'm a big fan of it. I'm just a fan of it in general.
Yeah.
So to be able to see somebody that has worked in the industry, and like I said this too on the video we made, to see the films you've worked on right off the bat, was like, okay, this is a very extensive resume that this guy's got, so he knows what he's talking about.
And so then
I also like your teaching style in the fact that it's very efficient. It, to me, it's very reachable to me. So maybe if you could just talk to me about that, about how you got there, how you got to this way of teaching, I guess.
I'm wondering if this goes back. We were talking earlier tonight about humanizing yourself, right?
Yes.
To an audience. So if you don't know a lot about public speaking, I didn't when I started, right? The first thing is you just keep doing it and you get better at it, right? Like anything.
Yep.
But one of the things with public speaking was certainly I found was that if I could tie, well, you'd mentioned it earlier, Des, about you identify with the stories that I tell about the shows I've been on because you know who Val Kilmer is and you have him in your brain.
Right? That's right.
And you have a certain idea of who he is and what he acts like, and now I'm validating that for you. And so you have this common connection, right? And so it really engages you. But I've also found that if I talk about my human side, my personal side.
Right, tell your story.
Tell my stories, right?
Yeah.
I really loved Emily's comment today. She said, you're a storyteller. And I didn't know I'm a storyteller. But the idea with the storytelling is that I have to entertain the audience before I can engage them. And then when I can engage them, then they can be educated. Because that's the way I want to be educated. And I'm currently not being educated. I'm going to university in the profs, they just read text off a slide, and you're like, you know,
where's that engagement, right?
Yeah.
Where's that happening? And we talked about that briefly. Yeah. And we talked about that briefly, and that there's a lot of ways now we're seeing in pop culture, in media, that people are accessing that using comedy, using entertainment to actually teach people things. You know?
Right, I'm learning things now,
and I'm also laughing and having a good time.
Right. I've learned too. They use hip hop to do a lot of teaching too.
Okay.
So you know, if I'm in the Bronx, it's called this thing called reality pedagogy. If I'm in the Bronx and I do hip hop, right, and that's all I know, and then some guy comes in and teaches me about photosynthesis and science or something, he's like, oh, what does that mean? Well, then he says the exercise is create a hip hop rap about photosynthesis. Well, that's something I know. That's something I identify with, and you know, so it's really effective.
Yeah.
I don't know where I was going with that. But.
Well, I think that's what it is too. It speaks to people's interests. Right?
Yeah.
Like, it's sort of like with me, it was like, I really want to tell these stories. Like, I do. I consider myself a storyteller as well. And that now I've been writing since elementary school, like writing comics, writing books for my friends, for myself, like stories.
Uh-huh.
And then in high school, I got to make my first student film, right? and it was really cheesy. We used ketchup for blood, and it stunk, and I've never used it again since then. That's how long I've been wanting to make these little slasher films and stuff, right?
Yeah.
And so then I realized that now, you know, sort of later in life, in my 20s, I can tell these stories, like the New Vialo people are natural storytellers. That's how we've told our history, is oral storytelling. I can use visual arts now.
Right.
You know, I can make a little short movie
right.
and scare somebody or make them laugh in 30 seconds.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right,
and that kind of thing.
Right.
So that's what I've really found interesting about you and your style and what I've learned from you now, because this is now the third course that I've taken with you, and I've definitely absorbed a lot. I've used a lot of it in my own, not just on my films, but at work.
Okay.
At the office.
Right? Okay, okay.
And the set etiquette, safety,
yes.
protocol, professionalism, accountability.
Yeah.
Integrity.
Yeah.
These are all things that you teach
in
a very good way that you don't even realize you're being taught these things.
Interesting. Okay.
Because we're laughing with Kenny.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because
yes,
Kenny is just a good guy.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're like, holy shit, you had a good message though. That was true.
Yeah.
You know?
It was oftentimes it's my mistake, right? Like I made this mistake.
Yeah.
And I learned from it.
Like cautionary tales.
And this way you're not going to make the same mistake. Like the story about...
So,
the Val Kilmer story, right?
Please, yes.
So, I did this show called Spartan, and Spartan was a military picture, and it was Val Kilmer was rescuing the president's daughter who had been abducted somewhere in the Middle East.
Right.
Anyways, and my sister-in-law is Danae from northern Saskatchewan, and she called me up and asked me if I could get an autograph of Val Kilmer on the DVD for a movie he did called Thunderheart. Thunderheart?
Yep.
Yes. Because he plays a native tracker or something like that in the movie.
Right.
Anyways, he... boy.
Yep, no, keep going. Sorry.
No, this bourbon. Man, it tastes so good
this,
right now.
It's non-bourbon.
I
could crack the one Red Bull if you like.
Anyways, so, you know, the code of the unwritten rules of film sets, of protocol and etiquette, one of them is that it's like a cocoon for actors when they come into our world. We treat them like they're brothers and sisters, right? There's no putting them up on a pedestal, but there's also this, not like you think of what it's like to be a famous person. I wouldn't want it. And that is,
right.
I can't go out to the grocery store and just pick up something. Somebody's going to harass me. Everybody's harassing me. That's what I'm trying to say. On a film set, you're not going to be harassed for autographs and photographs and all that crap. Okay, so that's just the unwritten thing.
Yep.
But then there come situations when, you know, a family member asks you for an autograph of an actor, and you're like, well, so how do you play that and play it right without cheapening this relationship that you build with them automatically because of the situation? And so with Val Kilmer, it was just that. I had immediately a great connection with him. We had a great chemistry together. We did practical jokes with one another, and we can do a whole podcast on that, but we won't. But what it came to was I realized that to ask for an autograph from Val right in the initial stages of our relationship, which would be 35 days or 40 days, I don't know how long that shoot was, would be taking advantage of this relationship.
Yep.
If I waited until 3/4 into the shoot, like day 30 of a 40-day shoot, well, by then, you know, you have a communication with the person. You have a rapport with the person.
That's right.
You can build in the question, hey, dude, listen, I don't want to bug you, but I got this sister-in-law on you. Anyway, so we're in Santa... If this is going on too long...
No, please. No, okay. Please go. Yes, definitely.
We were shooting a scene in Santa Monica at the airport, and we were in a big hangar. And inside that hangar, there was this big, I want to say DC-9 or something, some big army plane where the tail end is out. And the scene is... crew members loading shit into the back end of this plane. And so we do the rehearsal, and Val is there, and we do the rehearsal, and we cut, and now it's time to light. And it's going to take us a while to light. And so I know, because I'm the set PA, I've got time, right? So I catch that window, and I go to the other side of the hangar, because that's where the bathroom is.
Right.
And I'm in the bathroom there, and I'm standing up against the urinal, and I'm taking a piss, and in walks Val. And I'm like, you know, thinking to myself, is this the right time to ask Val for that autograph that my sister-in-law wants? Or, you know, as we're both hanging there. Right?
Yeah.
But it's kind of like the, hey, right? Because you don't. And I don't know if you have any female listeners. You know, I don't know. There's an unwritten etiquette in the urinals, right? I don't know.
You just don't. Yeah,
you
like,
don't
no,
talk
no,
to the guy
don't
beside
engage.
You.
Don't engage. There's an acknowledgement of presence, for sure. It's respectful. And it's just like a, hey, right? But you definitely don't, and I think you also don't go to the next urinal if there's three, right?
There's gotta be space.
Space.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Space. But I know what you mean. Yeah, you definitely don't engage while you're here.
Yeah. See, that should be another podcast of yours, like male etiquette that nobody talks about. Anyways.
Yes.
So we're walking back to the set, and on the way, I say, "Hey, Val." I say, "Yeah." I'm like, "Listen, I don't want you to think less of me, but I was wondering if..." And he stops me. He goes, no, Kenny. Like, you presuppose that I actually think of you. And I was like, huh? And then he stops. He's like, it's dead quiet. He says, "You hear that?" And I cock my ear into the air. And it's dead silence. He says, "Yeah, that's what I think of you." I go. I said, "Okay, listen, Valerie." And he's like, "Oh, you pulled the Valerie card." And then I was like, "Yeah, like, dude, listen." And so then I asked for the autograph and why, and everything was really cool.
Yeah, but so that's so cool that you know that though, that you're aware of these things, that these relationships you're cultivating with these people as a professional, you don't take advantage of those things. You know, you don't.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That's the thing, and it's about it's about shooting a shot, knowing when to.
Yeah.
Or if you do it all, right?
Yeah.
Because that's what you said too, is that it's etiquette on the sets that you're going to be working with these people, and if you want to continue to be working with people like that. Yeah. On a high level, they have to know that you're going to be professional.
Yeah.
And a lot of that means, like you said, not being starstruck, just being professional with them.
Yeah.
And a lot of that, I think that's even cooler, because to me, like we've talked about, you know, like we're not going to name any names here on air about the people that I'm talking to and stuff that I'm cooking up right now, right?
Right.
But that this is, I feel really cool in the fact that I can talk to these people now. Just cool, like we're just chill.
Yeah.
And it's not like, "Oh, Kenny, Kenny, the things you've done, Kenny, Kenny," right?
Yeah, I feel
that way for sure.
Yeah.
But there's a way to convey that.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So now, what do you do now? You have a company. Tell me about the company.
So I started doing a thing called Production Assistant Training Seminar, and it was what we did this weekend.
Yeah.
And I started that in 2005 because the local school that the local, what do you want to call it, college, would put on a set etiquette course, and nobody wanted to teach it. And the only thing they had was about 4 pages of like shit, right? And I was supposed to teach for 2 full days. And so that was actually the genesis of it. And I had just come back from LA, and I was like, yeah, you know, to be a PA in the film industry, everybody's like, "Oh, anybody can be a PA, right?" To be an extra in the film industry, "Oh, well, I mean, it doesn't take a brain. Anybody can be an extra." And it's like, well, no, you know, you start thinking about things.
There are pitfalls.
There are pitfalls. There's also unique knowledge that you need to know that nobody talks about. Like, how do you create a resume to be an extra? Like, what needs to be on that? And who? Like,
what do people want to see?
What do people want to see? What does the costume department really want to see? What do the hair and makeup want to see? What, you know, what do the photos have to look like? That kind of stuff. So.
And I think the one thing I've learned from you is what makes you stand out. You know?
Yeah.
What will people notice? What will people pick up on? And I think definitely having a knowledge about the industry is definitely a leg up in a lot of ways. Because like you said, like, you know, I know this, I've got this experience here, you know, I want to be a base camp PA as opposed to just a PA.
Yeah.
Put me anywhere. Now I know where I want to be because I know what a base camp is. And I have a general knowledge of maybe what would happen there.
Yes. So if you're going to film school, or if you think you want to go to film school.
Yeah.
People don't realize that it's a business, right? And so what are they going to pitch to is what's in your, what you want the most, which is what all of us want the most, which is to express our creative juices, right? So they're going to pitch the courses on, "I'm going to teach you how to be an actor. I'm going to teach you how to be a director. I'm going to teach you how to do cinematography, how to edit, and how to write," right? Like, those are the top five. Yeah. And those are attractive to anybody.
Yeah.
But this realization that on any film, there's only one director. There's really only one script writer, right? There's others that come in after to touch things up.
Right.
And there's only one editor. And there's only those five positions. There's only one of them on a crew. Who the fuck are the rest of all these crew, right?
Yeah.
It's all the grip. What does a grip do? What does a craft service person do? What does a costumer do? What does a production assistant in the office do? All of this came to me. It's like, well, no film schools teach that or train that, right?
Right, okay, cool.
So to ask you a question, what am I doing now is that that's what I've got is a sort of stable of professionals that have retired, and then they realize, you know, I do have a vault of incredible resource of information here about how to be a production coordinator. So Carol Kravitz did...
More to give.
Or more to give. Yeah, yeah, give. And she says, you know, I genuinely want to give back.
Yeah.
And so professors at universities, at film schools, they don't know this shit because they've never worked on a set. Theory, or they rarely do. It's theory. Yeah, it's all about theory. So I'm not dissing that education that you're going to get in a film school, but a lot of students don't realize that education is not practical in the film industry.
Yeah.
In terms of getting a job like right now when you get out of school.
That's right.
So you know a lot of film school students, by the third year, they're going, what am I going to do when I get out? Like, what am I going to get hired for, right? Now, I do know this. A lot of film school students will get hired right away to do things like infomercials or PSAs or music videos. And if that's what you want to do...
There you go. Yeah,
the path
is there.
Yeah, the path is there. Or you take the practical side, which is learn all these different positions and how they operate and how a movie actually physically gets made.
Yeah.
And then if you want to be a director, as James Cameron says... just go direct, right?
Yeah.
Get your friends, and it doesn't matter if it's your brother or your sister or whatever, or if it's even you, and just direct your own little movie.
Yeah.
And make it good. Prepare as you've done, right? Like, do storyboards. Do every planning that you possibly can. Even talk to somebody like me, an assistant director, and say, hey, Kenny, here's my script. What do you recommend? Okay, cool. This, I break it down this way, and I would do it for these reasons, right? And... I don't know what I was saying. Go out and shoot it, right? And that's what FITS is, this film industry training seminars, but I've shortened it to just filmcrewtrainer.com. Because we train people below the line positions.
Cool. And that's exactly, like you said, it's the quickest way from somebody to get from A to B. It's the quickest way from somebody to be watching films and saying, oh, I love movies and I want to make one, to, holy shit, I'm now working for movies. You know, I'm working for movies. I'm a PA. Yeah. And like you said, it's all about showing yourself because now, obviously we could talk for 8 years.
But
you yourself, just tell me how you started in the industry, like what position you started with, and how that, your willingness and your ambition got you more, right? How that turned into more.
Right. I won't tell how I did the original, but how I landed on a film set, right? Yeah. Thin Red Line.
That's right.
And I started as an extra.
Yes.
So I was cast as a featured extra. So they chose 12 of us to go through a boot camp with the principal cast, the boot camp being training us to be military soldiers in World War II. Mm-hmm. How to handle a gun, how to put a bullet in, how to pull the trigger, how to walk through the elephant grass, how to talk a little bit of Japanese. So we did that with the principal cast. And so I started as that.
Yeah.
But if you've ever worked as an extra, 3 or 4 days in, you're kind of like looking around going, is this it? Because you spend like 90% of your day sitting in extras holding, waiting for yourself to be used on a film set. Right?
Waiting for them to call you up for the shot.
Exactly, yeah. And so I saw my second assistant director, Karen Collins, who was setting the background, choreographing the background. And a lot of people, maybe they do or they don't know this, right? But all of your background in any movie is always choreographed precision. Right?
Yeah, it's not just random. It's not like, okay, everybody, just be at a restaurant.
Action. Go ahead. Yeah, be at a restaurant.
Yeah.
Because this is what you get.
And then...
dead side. So everything is choreographed. And so I was looking at Karen and I realized, like, I don't want to say I'm not an idiot, not that the rest of the kids were, or the rest of the extras were idiots, but it was like, I want to do more. I want to feel useful to this whole process. I don't want to just be like somebody in the background every 3 days or something. Anyway, so I would start mimicking what Karen was doing and I'd catch her eye and she'd catch mine and she'd see me setting background for her as she was coming down the line to set the rest of the background. And I'd be like, hey, I just sort of rough these people in for you. And she'd be like, fucking great. Well, just make him do this, this, and this. And then, you know, so then there were times on Thin Red Line where Charlie Company, which was the extras, my group, weren't needed that day for filming. There were Japanese soldiers in, so we don't know, okay.
Yeah.
But, hey, Kenny, would you come in as a PA?
Hey.
We'll pay you for the day as a PA to help us wrangle these Japanese extras. And I was like, I don't speak any Japanese. And they're like, no, we don't either. But one of our other extras, his name was Yaxley. He was an Australian kid. He'd learned how to speak Japanese, so he was coming in. So it was between Karen and myself and Jason Yaxley that we're going to handle, I think it was about a 50 to 80 Japanese soldiers. And the scene is set, if you've ever watched Thin Red Line, there's this great shot of the river just, it's Jim Caviezel has gone to rescue his wounded friend or something, and he's making his way up the river, and he knows it's infested with Japanese, and you see a shot up the river, and it's just quiet, it's beautiful, the leaves are doing their thing, the wind is blowing, the gurgling, and the rocks are there and everything, and then all of a sudden in the distance, and there's smoke, you see one Japanese soldier come out from the bush, and he's covered in leaves and bamboo shoots and stuff, right? They're all camouflaged.
Like he's wearing a ghillie suit, yeah.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. And then two come out, and then three, and then five, and then six, and all of a sudden, a whole fucking army is coming down this river, and Jim Caviezel's like, holy Jesus, I gotta go, right? And so for us to film that, it's Karen Collins and Yaxley and myself.
Yeah.
And so how do you do it? She said, Kenny, you take 20, Yaxley, you take 20, and I'll take 20. And she said, and Jason Yaxley, because he spoke Japanese, he interpreted for the two of us. And it was just, she said, okay, Kenny, you take every odd number, and I'll take every number. And so you say, so I threw five soldiers in the jungle here, and then I walked down 15 paces through another five, another 15 paces through another five. And then Karen, and we say, rolling, and Karen go, one. But she learned how to say one in Japanese,
yeah.
Right? And then across the river, Kenny would yell out two in Japanese, and so his group would go. And they and I would just say to them, you know, I would use my fingers like a spider crawling and say, look, that's how I want you to go through the bush and into the river, right? And we did it like in one. Well, we only would have had one take.
Yeah.
Because once you're in the river, you're fucking wet, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You can't do take two.
One shot.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know where we're going with this.
That's why so that's cool, though, man.
But anyway.
Well, it shows exactly what I believe is that if you work hard and if you show your worth, people will realize and recognize that and utilize that.
Right,
you know?
Right,
you
right.
You start out
right,
as an extra,
right,
and next thing you know, you're helping out.
Right.
And that led you
give to get, right?
Yeah.
If I hadn't given my days and done that, what an experience,
oh, man,
right?
You could have just walked in there and done your thing, and twirled your thumbs and said, this is really cool, and then left.
Yes, but instead, you took that
initiative.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I got an extra day out of it. And then Karen started bringing me back for other days, right?
Yeah.
And at the end of the show, she said, do you mind, Kenny? I'm going to go talk to Skip. So Skip Cosper is a legendary first AD. He did Terrence Malick's first films. He did Days of Heaven and Badlands, right? And so he's very well versed. Anyway, she said, do you mind if I go over to Skip and tell him, just say to him, listen, you know, Kenny's going back to Canada or back to the US. We should hire him on another film, just so he has an eye to eye with you and all of that. I'm like, geez, would you please, Karen? And of course he did that. But I had learned with Skip Cosper, we were doing a scene on Thin Red Line where we had a whole Japanese bivouac burning. And there was elephant grass burning, there's palm trees burning, right? It's like not napalm, but we had flamethrowers.
Yep.
And so we had to send soldiers through into that flame and to the other side of the bivouac, right? And so Skip Cosper was there grabbing soldiers, and this is at nighttime. He's grabbing soldiers and throwing them into the set, right? Now it's safe. We know the path that we can walk. The flames are actually, you know, flames of bar flames, right? A bar with propane going through flames, right? So you on camera, you don't really reckon. Anyways, my point to all this is, like, I was looking at the other soldiers like they're idiots, because they would go through the set to the other side of the set, and then they would stand there looking at the jungle with their guns like they're going to find Japanese soldiers in there, right? And I was looking at this going, well, Skip's going to run out of soldiers pretty soon back there. And so I would just double back and go back behind the camera, and he would be desperately flailing to find somebody. He'd see me, and he'd grab me, and he'd throw me through again. And I'd go through, and I'd see all these other kids. They were still there from the last pass, right? And I'd go back around and do another loop. And Skip was like, holy shit. And then pretty soon, you know, I developed a rapport with him. He's like, I can count on this guy. He gets it.
Thinker.
He's watching. He's the thinker, right?
He's a thinker.
The rest of these losers are back there thinking they're on camera. It's fucking dark, you guys.
Yeah.
You're just a blot anyways. Yeah. Yeah.
No, the whole thing, though, Kenny, it speaks to your style. It speaks to your ability to be able to engage and entertain and then finally educate, you know?
Mm.
Because even right now, just sharing the story with us here for the listeners, on Cabin Radio, the Destro Show. You're listening to number one rockin'est hour here on Cabin Radio. A little quick cheap plug. It's great, man. You know what I mean? Like, I just, again, like I said, we have time restraints, obviously, on the program. But I'd love to talk to you more. We're going to have more conversations like this.
Yeah.
This is definitely not the last.
Okay,
like I said,
bring
you back up to Inuvik. Our girls got to hang out. There's a lot there.
Yeah,
there's a lot happening.
Yeah, yeah.
But I wanted to share this with the listeners, with my audience here on the program, and put it up on the SoundCloud. Is just to sort of share that with you and give you another platform, because I really do subscribe to everything you say.
Okay. You know? Okay. Yes. Like, yes,
I absolutely
yes,
will
yes.
promote you, and yes. I'll absolutely tell people, because myself included.
Yeah.
Not very long ago, man. I've made 8 shorts and a handful of comedy. You know what I mean? But everything that you've taught me now, I wish I could go back.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And say, guys, we need to plan this out. Here's how we should do this. Let's actually do some research and find out how professionals are doing this.
Right.
Because there's obviously, we don't have to break our backs, and I don't have to be in tears every single production.
Right. Oh, that's good.
So now, like, the books that you've given us, we're taking home.
Yeah.
I look through it. I'm like, wait, isn't there something? It happened at work, too. Jerry Tamara and I was like, wait, hang on. We're going on this shoot here. Grab Kenny's book, right? So we grabbed that book. Yeah. And we were leafing through it again. And we were laughing because it was like, oh, you remember this? Yeah, oh my God, remember? And so we have so much more stories from this week, too. It's okay, just because it's fun times.
Okay, good.
We did
good,
the exercise,
good.
Practical exercises, too, was a big thing about this last one we did.
Yeah. You know?
Getting
a
in
big
there
improvement.
With the people. Getting in there with the people. And it was, like you said, it was engaging to another level.
Yeah.
Because you could be the most charismatic person, and you were very charismatic. Of course, there's nothing losing there.
Yeah.
But until you get somebody hands on to actually be in a scene as an extra, hearing your cues, hearing the tickle on the talkie, watching the PAs push them on.
Yeah.
And then learning, like what you said, remember how you said, like in the movie, just in the Thin Red Line, you said those guys were standing there and you made yourself more, you know, you thought about it and you made yourself accessible again.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on in the background, and you can have people who are thinking like, oh shit, wait a second, if I did this right now, it's going to play off. It's a safe, I'm not going to steal the scene,
but I'm also, you know.
And so it helps, man.
That trick about being the best extra is you're seen but not seen, right? You fill in the frame. You're seen but not seen.
You're there, but you're still doing stuff. So
and
cool.
On Thin Red Line, we're all new, so we thought the game was get as much muggage as you can. Get your camera, get your face on camera, right?
Right.
And it was like this one guy, Yaxley, or not Yaxley, I can't remember his name, but he got into a scene. He was in a scene with Nick Nolte in the background firing a cannon, shoving these shells into this cannon to go off or something. Well, in the storyline, that takes place very specifically in a completely different part of Guadalcanal or whatever. So for the rest of the movie, this poor kid was blacklisted. He couldn't be in all the other scenes because
he
couldn't have
his
muggy.
Scene.
Yeah, well, people, and it was kind of like, I mean, that was what was said to us, and it was like, that's pretty lame, because if the movie is that bad that people are paying attention to the face of somebody in the background,
that's it.
You know,
but it speaks to continuity. It speaks to these things that you got to keep an eye on, right?
That's
another thing I've learned is that as much as I want to do this on my own and as eager as I am to get out there and shoot, I need to plan. I need to get people on there. I need somebody behind me saying, "Oh, Dez, that didn't look like that a minute ago, man. Hang on a second."
Yeah.
Because I've got to really quickly, just to wrap this up.
Yeah.
I've got, when we were in high school, we did this film. It was essentially The Usual Suspects. It was just a, I didn't watch the movie, so I didn't know, but the guy that wrote our script essentially just ripped off Usual Suspects and really bad. So the whole thing. But so there's this one scene where we're planning the hit. We're planning this big hit. We're going to go rob this place, right? We're planning this thing. We're all around the table. We have the fake guns on the table, and we're making the little map of, you know, here's our plan, guys. We shot this thing after school, right? On no budget with the school's equipment. So the one day after school, we did our, you know, our battery of shooting, like our little session of shooting. And we're all in this planning room meeting, right? This big scene of planning room. And I'm wearing a red t-shirt. You already know where this is going. And we broke for the day in the middle of the scene because of whatever, you know, dinner time or something. We come back the next day to keep filming. And we just filmed it and we had a good time. We all laughed so hard. We're having a great time filming with each other. We're a fun team. We're all friends.
Yeah.
We get to the final product. And it turns out because we split that one scene over 2 days and we had nobody looking for continuity, I'm wearing a fucking blue shirt in the next, like, I just cut, you know, like the biggest jump cut. And we're supposed to be imagining that we haven't just picked up the next day. And this kid is wearing an entirely different shirt.
And then
another thing about planning too, same shoot, the shot calls for us to run away from the bank with the money.
Okay.
And the only direction we got from the guy with the camera that was directing was run to the street and turn and just run as fast as you can. Gotcha. Two of us run. I go left. He goes right. Oh my gosh, man. You know, like the whole thing. All we heard, turn and turn, run and turn. So we both took that as we're going this way. No, we're not. And that was the funnest. Like, and those are the things. Like, that was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why I do this.
Right.
And that's why I want to thank you for coming on the show today.
Yeah.
And for doing what you do.
Yeah,
you know?
No, I appreciate it. I was thinking, like, the exercises that we did this weekend, to that you multiply that by the different people that are coming out to do a costume seminar or a makeup seminar or a grip seminar or something like that, and to be able to actually physically do the exercises, that's where I want to go with this, right?
Yeah.
Is I think, as you said, it was much better, more engaging. You got to set extras.
Yeah.
You got to do a timesheet. You were able to do a petty cash envelope.
And that's what I want to talk about too.
Okay.
The practicality of it.
Yeah.
Is because, you know, you see a lot of people, they talk about school, they talk about education in a lot of facets, not even just in the industry like we're in, but in education, general education, that these high schools aren't teaching the kids things that they need in regular life.
Right.
Show us how to do our taxes. Show us how to budget. Show us how to do these things.
Right.
That's what I love about your course
is
you're not just saying, you know, like, because you are. It's below the line positions you're teaching.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're not just teaching us etiquette on how to get on a set. You're telling us, here's the forms you're going to need. Here's how you get paid.
Yeah.
And then, and if you know these things ahead of time,
then this is,
like you said, I walked up to you with my full pack, here's all my information, and here's my, you know, my payment information and things like this.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you just saved me a lot of time.
I'm not training on the day.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And it shows worth. Again, demonstrating worth.
Right.
And I think that's one of the biggest things, not even just in our industry, in life. If you can demonstrate your worth, demonstrate your value every day, that's how you. That's how people alone. Should live.
Yeah, Cool.
Truly, man. Well, thank you again, Kenny, so much.
It was really
awesome. Where can we find you on Instagram? Where can we find you online here?
Hashtag, right? Film Crew Trainer.
Film Crew Trainer.
Or at Film Crew Trainer.
At Film Crew Trainer.
That's it.
On Instagram.
Yes.
And you're on Facebook as well.
Yes.
And
Twitter.
Good stuff. Perfect. Yep. They're all
YouTube
over the place.
YouTube and all of that. Yes,
excellent,
sir.
Man. Excellent.
Thank you, Dennis.
Well, I look forward to your videos coming up.
Okay.
Very much again, like I said, this is valuable, not just to myself, but to my organization that I represent, that we work for.
Uh-huh.
And to have the staff here and everything was great this weekend. So again, man, thanks for coming on the show.
I appreciate it. It was really good to have repeat customers to realize that you can't get all, like, you can't absorb it all.
Yeah.
And so I think you came back. I was worried that you're going to be like, oh God, I got to hear the same stories again. The stories are they're good. They're well crafted. I've done them for a while.
They are, exactly.
Thank you, guys.
All right. That's awesome. So everybody out there listening, Kenny Chaplin again, thank you for coming in. And you'll definitely be in Yellowknife again. Listen to WOMP. Check out WOMP. Jeremy Emerson will be the contact for that. There'll be advertising when you come back up again, and I'm sure you will be for sure.
Yeah.
Kamala, everybody, you've got friends up here.
I love it. Yeah, I'd love to come back.
Good, awesome. All right, thanks so much.
Thank you.